Podtacular episode 408, Heavies Go Boom, for February 6, 2014. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And this week, we are back with some more good Halo details from the Halo Bulletin. Not as much in the rumor mill this week, but we have enough content to hopefully hold you guys over for a show. We also have a guest with us tonight. We welcome back Laird.
Hi, Internet. Show. I kind of crashed, so, you know, here I am.
It's cool. It's cool. Laird's, again, one of our former members of Podtacular. He's been here for quite some time, so he always has a welcomed seat here on the show. So thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me back.
Most definitely. We have quite a few things to talk about tonight with regards to matchmaking, more so on the matchmaking side than over the last couple of episodes where we had some rumor stuff to talk about. Nothing new has cropped up this week, so nothing in the rumor mill segment, and I think we still need to get some kind of tune or little audio bit to kind of preface a rumor mill thing. I think that would be kind of cool, especially with news that will be bound to be coming in sometime soon with, of course, the whole Halo 2 anniversary thing that we talked about last week, and the Halo 5 beta, and the Halo TV show, and whatnot. So lots of things will bound to be coming down the pipe. Again, our stance here on Podtacular, for those of you who didn't catch us last week, is we acknowledge the existence of rumors, but we do not comment on whether or not they're true and what is contained within those rumors, because they're rumors, that's simply put, and until 343 says something official otherwise, we just don't want to introduce any kind of random speculation into it. So that's kind of our stance here on the show. But enough of that. We have some bulletin stuff to get into for this week. We're going to be kind of going through things pretty quickly. Again, not much to talk about. Although Spartan Assault did come out for the 360 last week, which we did forget to mention, and Brent has been playing it a little bit. So we'll get to hear his thoughts on the game so far.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to be hopefully pretty cool.
Maybe.
I would hope
possibly.
So.
Possibly. Well, I have a few things to say. So,
well, that's good. Yeah, that's
it
good.
It should be interesting.
Awesome. Well, first things first, Team Heavies has actually come out in matchmaking this week. Last week, we said it was going to be coming out not in this update, but the next update. So the bulletin wording was a little bit confusing for some reason, but it's actually out this week. And strangely enough, when we did Wacky Wednesday yesterday, the group that normally joins us actually hopped on early and was playing matchmaking, and one of the things that we tried to do was some Team Heavies. So it just kind of goes to show how popular the playlist is. And in the bulletin, they also mentioned that in the matchmaking update, they mentioned that the Heavies playlist actually overtook the Big Team playlist for three consecutive days. Which I think stands a testament to like how much people wanted to play Heavies.
Oh yeah, people love vehicles. Especially vehicles with large weapons on them.
Yes. And it's a shame that we don't get to see the vehicles as often in some of the other just regular gameplay for the other matchmaking playlists. Especially the big ones like the Wraith and the Tank. You see the Tank on Longbow for some of them, but you really don't see the Wraith at all in matchmaking other than what we've seen in Team Heavies for this week. So it's been nice to see that in there. I haven't been able to play too much in the Team Heavies yet. I want to play some more, get it in while the Heavies is out here, because I love Halo vehicles. I think they're pretty awesome. Other than the fact that in Halo 4 you get a plasma pistol in your back pocket.
Which turns vehicles into, you know, smoking junk heaps.
Yeah. They need to fix that for Halo 5. They really
use
need to
Will
fix
Man
that.
Every single time in Heavies. That's yes. All I can say. Just every time you get in there, just use Will Man. Have it out with a Will Man and Survivor and just go at it.
If Halo 5 has loadouts as, you know, a lot of the internet doesn't want and a lot of the community doesn't, if it still does, plasma pistols need to be one, and I say it one, on map pickup weapon. Anyone that disagrees with me, I don't like your opinion anymore. Same with Bullseye.
I would agree. Those are Bullseye needs to go.
They're basically power weapons. You know, you can if you're gonna have a plasma pistol as a secondary that you can have in a loadout, that's fine, but it can't have an overcharge. There needs to be a variant of the plasma pistol or something like that. One where just you can spam it and it's more powerful, like say, like, you know, you can get 4 or 5 shots and it shields down, but no noob combo anymore. If you want the noob combo or you want that overcharge, you know, disable a vehicle, you got to go pick up that plasma pistol that's special on the map.
Exactly.
That's just my opinion on the whole idea.
Well, especially for vehicles. And I would even go to say for some of the bigger maps, you could probably have 2, but it should be at least 1 per team at the most.
Or if everyone is going to get plasma pistols as secondaries and loadouts and all that, if they, for whatever reason 343 doesn't want to change it, vehicles at the very least require 2 overcharge shots to disable a vehicle. One, you know, kind of strips your shields. The second one turns your vehicle into, you know, a hood ornament or whatever. And then, you know, paperweight, it disables it. And then, you know, whatever. It just, you know, one power or power plasma pistol shot. Just, I don't know. I would be too powerful. Yeah, it's way too OP. I mean, yeah. You know, two. You know, at least you have a chance to run the guy down that disabled you or hop out of your vehicle and shoot him, or the turret guy's gonna, you know, it's not like, oh, you're disabled, and then a plasma grenade hits you on the side and you're done, right? Sorry, I'm going off tangent. We should stay on topic.
No, it's perfectly fine. And another thing that's kind of similar to that, but not exactly the same kind of gameplay mechanic, but is whenever you get boarded, you can't eject. So whenever you get boarded with a Mantis or a tank, you can't get out. That's something I think needs to be addressed.
Doesn't
Wheelman
offer that? Isn't that like one of the perks?
It only offers it. So there's certain situations where the Wheelman will actually not take effect. If it sustains so much damage, or if you get jacked, I don't think the Wheelman actually works.
Okay. Well, then they need to steal Titanfall's eject system. Their Spartans need to have, like, you know, if say you've got what's the butt pack called? Thruster pack. Say you got the thruster pack on, you should have like this option to hit eject and you fly out of the vehicle, you know. You know, ejection.
I didn't get a chance to play that pack, so unfortunately, well, I don't know quite how exactly that thing works.
We here at Podtacular love Titanfall. We herbally do not endorse that on a Halo podcast, but we still like the game because we're allowed to like games from other franchises. Just, you know, so we're out there saying that.
Yeah, I am personally excited for it, and everyone is comparing it to be the next COD killer, but it's really not. If you think about all the different kinds of first person shooter, and I know this is a wild tangent, guys, we'll get back on topic here in a minute. But if you look at all the first person shooters that are out there, Call of Duty, Battlefield, Medal of Honor, Halo, and now Titanfall, throw that into the mix. They all have their own little special thing that makes them unique in the first person genre. Battlefield has squads. Call of Duty is that fast-paced kind of lone wolf type thing. Halo is the future sci-fi shooter with shields and awesome plasma guns.
I totally love to give you insight, but I have like a little piece of paper that says I can't. So, Titanfall, yay! That's all about all I can say.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, you know the same piece of paper I'm talking about, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
And the internet people are like, what? LOL? Internets?
Well, a few of them probably know.
Okay. A few weeks ago, about 500 to 1,000 people on the Xbox One managed to get into the Xbox One Titanfall beta. Yeah, let's go with that.
It's the alpha.
Alpha. So we're not really supposed to even say we were in the alpha. We're allowed to say we were in the alpha, but we can't comment. About anything. Like, we can't say
anything that's in the game.
Exactly. We can't say what the servers were like or what the weapons were like or anything.
I'll just say it's not a COD killer because it's a completely separate experience in the first-person shooter genre.
Let me put it this way. I didn't play it at PAX or any of the other places that a lot of people were dropping, oh yeah, it's super awesome, I stood in line 45 times to play it. I played it once. Or not once, but I played the alpha, and after my first game, that convinced me to buy it on day one. That's all I'm going to say on it. That's my endorsement for it.
Yep. Well, I pre-ordered the collector's edition.
You know, fair enough. I mean, you know, that thing's a little excessive. I mean, you know, it's.
Sorry, I had a blast.
No. Oh yeah, no, I had a blast with the game. The collector's edition's just a little excessive. It's big. You know, it's like 20 inches or whatever.
Anywho, back to Halo.
Yeah, Halo.
So, Team Heavies is out for the next week and a half as of this recording for the rotational playlist. So go get your game on in the Team Heavies. You can get some of the vehicle combinations that you will probably be working for if you're one of those kinds of people. And there's also some achievements that you can get based on some vehicle DLC-based achievements. So if you want a list of those, check out the bulletin. There's some in there. If not, just check your achievement list and look for DLC vehicle ones. They're all in there. And the nice thing about the Heavies playlist is there's the DLC maps to get them on. So it's definitely a good reason to go out and try to get some of the commendations, or get your achievements, or just overall have fun with playing with heavy vehicles. I mean, I personally miss the tanks and the wraiths. I like the big kind of vehicle combat that we had in Halo 2, to be honest. I miss that.
I love the big vehicles. I just think the some of the vehicles need some retweaking or retiring. I think the Wraith, not the Wraith, the Scorpion looks like it just says shoot me here. I'm sorry, I'm going off on a vehicle design compared to modern equivalent. I just think the turret needs to be lower. I mean, never mind. But heavy weapons back in vehicles are. The playlist is good. They've been sorely missed.
I think I know what you're getting at with the whole turret needs to be lower thing just based off of, like, military tank design, but yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
I think it's an iconic Halo look, though, now.
Yes. Think that I prefer some of the designs from lesser Halo games, side Halo games from, like, Halo Wars. Some of the more military...
Yeah, I knew you were going to say Halo Wars.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine. Decisions aside, sorry, go ahead, Brent.
Basically, the Mantis is an attempt to, you know, make up for the shortcomings of the Scorpion in this game, right? I mean, it has the rockets on it and the main cannon, just the machine gun that the main operator can fire at any time. It has way more mobility than the Scorpion.
Yeah. Speaking of Scorpions, I know this is considered Spartan Assault, but I actually liked the Scorpion in Spartan Assault. The fact that I didn't have to have a gunner control my machine gun, I actually was able to control the machine gun from the top of my turret and control my turret, much like in Halo 1 and 2. That's the way I want the tank in Halo 5. I want my machine gun, even if it's a weaker one, I want to be able to have a secondary gun that, you know, I don't have to rely on the turret, the main gun, to take out Spartans or whatever. I want that, and if you want to put a heavier gun that a person control on the outside as a turret, fine, but I like the fact that in Spartan Assault, you're able to control your own machine gun.
That would be an interesting feature to bring back. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Even if it's all, you know, crazy, if it's a weak machine gun, fine, or if it's stronger like in Halo Combat Evolved and Halo 1 where it sprays all over the place, fine.
That thing has a wide spread angle in Halo 1, though. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but
in you're lucky Halo, to hit people with that machine gun.
In Halo 2, it was like, you know, it took a fair amount of bullets, but I mean, the rate of fire on that thing was just insane.
Yeah, it was better in Halo 2. I think they could do a couple of things with it, and if they don't do the whole secondary machine gun thing, implement a zoom function for the left trigger. Like, make that left trigger do something while you're in the tank.
I just would like to, you know, have some kind of way of defending myself instead of ups my tank shot now that we have to worry about shell drop over distance. You know, I it's like if the turret or the shell misses, you know, you're done. The only thing you can do is either try and run over the guy or get boarded or, you know, jump out of your tank and then.
Yeah. Another interesting vehicle change that might be interesting to experiment with is if you're in the driver's seat of the Warthog and you don't have a gunner, wherever you look is where you can shoot the gun.
That would be another thing. Speaking, if we're talking about Warthog driving and design, I want the Halo 1 first person shooter passenger driving back. I want, and same thing with the driving. I'd love
that'd be well I'd make it the, optional.
Well, yeah,
I think
okay.
a lot of people that play Halo probably wouldn't really like that. So make it an option. Make it to where people can actually do that whole first person view in the passenger seat, or they can do the third person view.
And sure, and same with the driver or the turret. I mean, I know in Halo 1, riding as passenger with any kind of gun other than like an explosive weapon is like insane. I mean, you can say you can spray people with a DMR or the BR or a carbine or whatever in the, you know, the passenger seat. But I mean, I know when I played Halo 1 on PC, granted, you know, PC mouse and keyboard are supposedly better, and we won't bring that up as an argument, but all I know
the
is...
The whole PC versus console war.
Yeah, I'm not bringing that up. All I know is in first-person mode, when I had my assault rifle, I could actually shoot people down in first-person mode in that passenger seat, and it would just make it that much easier for the turret, you know, the gunner or the driver to get the flag carrier or whatever objective we were playing. From a personal standpoint, I want the first-person passenger view back as an option at the very least. You know, you can put it back in, you know, your own options. Much like everyone screams how they want bumper jumpers and this and that. Well, I want that option. I'd love to be able to remap my own, have my own personal control scheme on.
Yes, please.
Because if I could do that, I'd have no problem with Halo. Everyone says, oh, bring back aim down sights. I don't want aim down sights other than weapons that have scopes. You know, if I could have the option to take my left trigger and make that my aim down sights or look down my scope, I'd have such a better time playing Halo. Because, you know, all other first-person shooters that have scope weapons and aim down sights, you pull the left trigger, that's just standard. It doesn't matter what, you know, you're playing on, as long as you're on console anyways. You know, PlayStation or Xbox or Call of Duty or Battlefield or whatever, Gears of War, you pull the left trigger. That's what aims down your sight as a weapon. If the weapon has that, I just want my left trigger to do that. That's the only thing I would change.
Mm. The only thing is, you also have the zoom in on the HUD whenever you have a weapon that isn't doesn't have a zoom mechanism.
And if I could, because look, in Halo 4, you've got grenade type, which is, you know, one grenade, which is your left trigger by default usually, right? And then your triggers for your right triggers, your machine gun. In Halo, you know, depending on your scheme, I mean, you left and right bumper. But I mean,
typically, it's the right stick that's the zoom.
Yeah, exactly. But if I can,
and I personally don't have a problem with that.
I just want to be able to take that stick that's mapped to zoom and move it to the left trigger. That's what I'm saying. I would like to have that ability. For me, that would make Halo so much easier to play because every other
The right stick melee and make the B button grenades or something like that.
Oh well, whatever. I mean, whatever your personal.
No, I agree that a custom button set needs to be supported
because
for the next Halo title.
As crappy, and I don't want
to Halo 5. Halo 2 anniversary, I don't mind seeing the Halo 2 scheme.
Sure, keep the original.
But
like,
for Halo 5,
like as much as I don't want to give this console game any credit. It's the only one that I've ever seen do it that has a personalized custom button scheme, thumbstick layout, is Alien Colonial Marines. You can set it up any way you want. If you want every
Fallout.
Action in the game to be the same button.
Fallout.
Hmm? Call out?
Fallout.
Oh,
Fallout has custom button configurations.
Fallout had it? Okay, I only played Fallout 3 for a bit, and then I got fed up with it, so I don't know. I didn't play it, so... Okay, so Fallout... Okay, so my bad. Other console games have it. I mean, the only console game I played it had... was Aliens Colonial Marines. So I think that's one thing that, like you said, needs to happen. Personalized loadout. Sorry, controller loadout.
I agree, definitely. Brent, you're awfully quiet.
Yeah, I kind of stay quiet nowadays. I'm just listening.
Okay, well, you jump on in here. I went on my little tirade there.
Aim down sights is whatever for me. I've been playing since Halo 2. I didn't really play... much, you know, Halo Combat Evolved, but I just like the Halo scheme. That's what I'm used to. I mean, the left trigger for aim down sight, that's fine. I can do that, but it's not a big deal. I mean,
I'm not saying drastically change it. I was just saying, you know, if you're gonna, you know, make, because I mean, also on, you know, except for what do you call it? I mean, I don't know if you guys play Battlefield 4, but they have a stick setting called Veteran. The only difference between Veteran and the Recon, literally, and Call of Duty's, I can't remember what it's called. Basically, B is melee, B is melee, and, you know, crouch is your left thumbstick, you know, run when you press forward on the left thumbstick. All the actions are the same, except for grenade toss and looking down sights. All I'm saying is, you know, anybody that could pick up Battlefield or pick up Call of Duty, or, you know, if the default was, say, you know, you had that option, because even Recon, I think it is now, is it Recon? There's one in there that's literally, you press the left thumbstick and you sprint, you do basically, it's the standard FPS, you know, control scheme, and the only difference is, you know, the left thumbstick throws grenades, or sorry, the left trigger throws grenades, and the right thumbstick aims down sights of scoped weapons. All I'm saying is, if I could just move...
So that's default in Halo.
Yeah, exactly. If I could just move to, you know, the thumbstick control for zooming over to left trigger and grenades over to, you know, a different button, it would make it easier for me, because, I mean... When I go from one, like when I say pick up a first person shooter like Battlefield and I play it for a while and then I go back to Halo, it's like I'm hitting, you know, left, then it's like it's throwing grenades and I just screwed up, and I don't know. That's just me. It would just make, you know, keep the Halo core audience. It would just help those people that would like to get into Halo that haven't played it for a while transition easier into, you know, Halo again. That maybe I'm off on something that doesn't need to happen. Rants, tangents.
I don't know. I think it's something that should be considered and should be looked into.
I think they should add some sort of Pokemon game mechanic to Halo multiplayer.
I forget what the Forerunner.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the throwing mechanics right there.
Oh, the pulse grenade.
You throw the pulse grenade and, you know...
I'm assuming you saw the RVB episode?
Yeah, something like that. Exactly. You throw the pulse grenade and you disintegrate a player and now they're your Pokemon. they're in the pulse grenade. you capture Frankie. Frankie, I choose you! And you throw the pulse grenade and he jumps out of the pulse grenade or something.
Yeah, the only time you would want to use that would be in SWAT.
And why is that?
Because Frankie loves SWAT.
Oh, yes. Frankles.
Yes. So, again, Team Heavies is this week and next week, so get your heavies in. Next week, we're actually getting Big Rumble, which is FFA 12 players, which is going to be insanity for the most part. There is a mix of game types, Oddball, King of the Hill, Slayer, all that good stuff. And for those that want to know what the poll is for this week, there's three new options for you to vote on. Quick Draw, which is magnums, frag grenades, and dexterity only. So basically, mayhem in short, close range. Sticky ball.
It's basically SWAT with grenades is what it's going to turn into. Well,
so it doesn't look like there's no shields.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, you know, you're going to just have a person throw a grenade and then you're going to hit dexterity and go pew, 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 and then it's just going to be over.
Yeah, reload. Pew, 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 pew.
Well, it's like, you know, hit a person with a grenade, shields popped, and then you pop them with the magnum, right? And then reload.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I'm wondering how big the maps are going to be for that one, or if they use just stock maps.
This is where 343 comes out with a brand new map pack. Just, you know, open map, you know. It's crazy. or no, this is...
There are some of the DLC ones that aren't quite used as much now.
I was going to say, I'm surprised by now. 343 built up in Spartan Ops, exclusively for Spartan Ops, those that in episode 2, the second half of season 1 of Spartan Ops, those maps would be insane for, you know, big multiplayer map. The one, the Forerunner one where you're like, I can't remember what the map's called, but it's all yellow and enclosed. And then there's the second half and that's, you know, and then, you know, the one that's the valley that, you know, it opened up the door and then you had that wide open second half of the map. I mean, that could be a perfect, like, you know, I don't want to call it some placement, but, you know, it could have been that could have been the Blood Gulch map.
I agree.
coagulation, you know, whatever, for Halo 4. That's what it could have been. I'm surprised they didn't bring those maps into rotation by now. Like, you know, even if they're segmented, you know, everyone's got them. I mean, it would just be a matter of, sorry, I shouldn't say it's just a matter of, I'm sure they could figure out a way to, with a patch, rotate them somehow into play as actual maps.
You would actually have to create a custom map file for it. I mean, they already have the environments there, so it wouldn't be hard to kind of bring it in.
That's what I was saying.
They would have to cut off some of the geometry so the maps wouldn't be as big.
Sure, like, I'm not saying, like, you know, have the whole Spartan Ops, you know, map.
Right.
You know, you could have cut them up and make them four maps or three maps or whatever, right? I mean, you don't even have to charge it, and it would come back as kind of like a... Like, a lot of people got, mad in December or last year when Crimson came out and everyone got it and then they took it away. Now, if 343 turned around and turned these maps into multiplayer maps, people would be praising them, right? It's already something they have and it's great maps and it would be free. I mean...
Well, one of the things I talked with Sal when we were doing our Spartan Ops podcast way back last year was the fact that these new maps that we've seen in the second half of Spartan Ops would be perfect for some big team environments, and there are a few cases in there where some smaller team battles would be pretty good as well.
Like,
I mean, the map design is really, really good.
What, like, even if it was just the I can't remember the name of the map, but you know the yellow one I'm talking about, where it was the first time when you were spoiler alert, in case anyone hasn't played Spartan Ops, spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1.
It's way too late for a spoiler.
Still fair enough.
I mean, come on.
Okay, so you know that part, that level where you're taken prisoner and you're hanging on the wall, and you know that your Crimson team's taken prisoner. That map, the first section alone, that could just be like, you know, a mini kind of free for all. I was going to call it lone walls, but you know what I mean? Free for all, you know, that section right there could be its own free for all map. It's big enough. It's got, you know, two levels and it's got spots you can jump. It's got the section in the middle. It's got the two little, door areas where you go in where the prisoners, where the Marines were held prisoner. Those could be like little bases if you wanted to, you know, have flags and things like that in there. And then, or if you did neutral flag, obviously the flag could be in the middle in that circular platform area where like all the Covenant drop in, and that, like in Spartan Ops, like, you know, you wouldn't have to have, you know, many vehicles. I mean, you could have ghosts and two mongooses or a warthog or on each side or whatever. But I mean, like, you could just have that as a small combat map. I mean, I thought, I was waiting for that to come out. What's the Halo 4 map that everyone loves? The Forerunner one. I can't remember the name of it. I feel really bad. I'm supposed to know Halo stuff.
Haven?
Is it Haven? It was the
which,
first one.
Which Forerunner map are you talking about?
Because the one they were playing at the Global Championships.
So Skyline was one, but that was Earth City. There's Onyx. That was
no.
A Forge map.
Oh, man. Feel bad. I'm sorry, internet and listeners. I'm gonna go look this up right now.
Solace?
It was in the original 12 maps.
Solace.
Is it Solace?
I think so.
I'm gonna look this up right now because I must redeem myself because I feel stupid. Brent, if you know this, here, save me. I'm drowning, man.
I mean, it's either Haven or Solace.
I'm pretty sure it's Haven.
Yeah, Haven. I mean, everybody loves Haven. That's kind of a favorite FFA map or like small team map.
Yeah, just let me look this up. Games.
Anywho, that map that you were talking about in Spartan Ops is Lockup.
Lockup. Okay. Anyways.
But yeah, I think it would be really cool to see some of those maps make it into multiplayer. Some of those environments are just really well done, and you'd have to tweak some stuff to actually make it flow really well for a game of proper multiplayer. But as far as the design goes, a lot of the stuff is already there for the environment.
And just to clarify, yes, it definitely was Haven.
Okay. But yeah, everyone loves Haven.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. So, okay, so on Lockup, I mean, it's, you know, a Forerunner design map. It's, you know, it's got like the central area where people, you know, play, and then the side areas, which is what I was saying. Like on Lockup, you could have the two little bases open up, or sorry, they were prison areas on lockup, and you know those could be like the little side areas, kind of like Haven, and then you know you've got the two levels and the side circular ramps and bridges in the center, and you know that's what I was saying, it would be like a good analog for Haven, and it's a Forerunner map, so you know,
yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was like probably that, and I don't have the map, but I'm sure everyone will know what I'm talking about. You know, when we first got the doorway opens up and it opened up into that grand kind of valley where you took on the lynch. Okay, so yeah, where you had to jump onto the lynch and blow it up and then go up to the mountain area where the Forerunner structure that had the shield around it, and you had to pass through it. That open area, I think that would have been a great, like, nice big, you know, map, which would have been the new, I don't want to call it Ragnarok or Blood Gulch, but I mean, that just felt like it should have been in multiplayer. Like a big, you know, I mean, you've got Ragnarok, but other than Ragnarok, what other big open map is there? Like, big open vehicle and / infantry map is there? I mean, I don't know. Everything else is kind of in close quarters. You know, there's not a lot of room for vehicles to strut their stuff, which is where, you know, the I think, you know, as a missed opportunity is, like you just said, the heavies, you know, list has come out. That map, I think, would have been super awesome to have rotated into heavies.
So. Got it. Moving on for the rest of the bulletin. So we kind of covered the poll that's coming up for next week and the heavies. We have, of course, Valentine's coming up next weekend. So they're doing their whole Halo Valentine's thing again, where if you make some kind of little Valentine for your player two, as BS Angel played it last year and as they reiterate in the bulletin this year, then you can send it to BSAngel@HaloWaypoint.com, and they'll go through some of them, and for the best ones they like, you will be able to receive a pink Spartan armor for your avatar. So if that's something that you're interested in or want to share with the Halo community, definitely give that give it a go, and we'll get to see what comes out for next week in next week's bulletin. So I don't have a significant other. Do any of us here have a girlfriend or a significant other?
You've got Brent. He's kind of like a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Dustin, will you be my Valentine? My Halo Valentine?
I think there's a big 1,600-mile separation between us.
I thought you were going to say there were 1,600 other people before me. I was like, whoa!
Whoa, bro. Slow down there. You're a young fella.
Slow your roll, man. No, anything. I don't have a significant other. But I would definitely send them one of these Halo Valentines, and they would definitely appreciate it, because everybody loves Halo.
Significant other, nothing serious, but there is someone out there for me that I've been seeing of late. We'll just leave it at that.
Cool, yeah. Are you going to send them one of these Halo E-Valentines?
Him? No, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Either way, let's just go for it.
No, I'm trying to convince her to go see RoboCop on Valentine's Day.
Interesting move.
That's going to turn out great, I'm sure.
Let's know how that goes. Anyways, so for those that are interested in what Halo Waypoint will provide for E-Valentine's, if you need some last-minute Valentine's card-looking things, they are going to post some stuff in next week's bulletin. They did the same thing last year with some like witty one-liners that you could write that were Halo themed. I think they had a couple of designs or pictures that you could use too. So they'll probably have that in next week's bulletin. So
did you say witty or woody? Sorry, my witty. My head's in the gutter. Sorry, internet. Sorry. Hey, what do you want? I'm reading BS Angel's comments, and we all know how she is on Twitter. So
that is true.
My brain went to BS Angel mode. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, that tends to happen with her, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Or fortunately, depending on
depending on how you look at it. Yes, or fortunately. So, again, Valentine's is next weekend. So, if you have something that you are making for your Valentine, then send it into BSAngel@HaloWaypoint.com to possibly win a pink Spartan armor avatar code for your avatar, and you can come back next week to see some of the stuff that Halo Waypoint can give you for some last-minute Valentines if you don't have anything planned up to that point. Next in the bulletin is Gamers for Giving, which is a charity event that's being held this weekend in Michigan. It's February 8th to February 9th, and it is a charity event that is designed to make gaming packages to send to soldiers overseas and portable gaming stations for kids in hospitals. So I actually had only heard of this loosely before, so I read some more of the information about it in the bulletin. Bravo is apparently going out there to help support their efforts out there, the event, and hop on the live stream. So they're
the event
actually
coordinator is Zach Wiggle. Sorry, I'm probably saying that wrong, sir, but just getting your name out there. And gaming, the address for, you know, gaming. Oh, you're gonna put those in gaming for gamersforgiving.org. I'm sure you'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, it'll be in the show post.
Sorry, show post.
But there's a little interview with Zach on Gamers for Giving that's in the bulletin this week too, and it was something that he started back during high school actually. And there's a little history that goes behind how this got started and their purpose and their cause. And this year they're hoping to raise $20,000 for their efforts. So check them out. They have, I believe, $7,000 to go.
When I checked earlier,
according to this bulletin.
Yeah, it's $7,000.
Yeah. So you can go to donate to their page. Again, the site's gamersforgiving.org and donate over there. Before or during the event, so definitely check it out. I gave a lot of donations last year for Child's Play and a few other charities and Extra Life, so and my bank account is straining because I just bought a car, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to donate too much to this.
I got something planned similar to like what we did last year at PAX, so you'll cool. be able to donate. I'll tell you about it later, but it's going to be much more cooler if I can work it out than what was last year at Dick's.
Nice. Wait, you gave something out at Dick's?
Didn't you get your poster sets?
Oh, wait, that's okay.
Yeah, right? The money that you guys donated, I think we raised.
I was thinking the first dinner, which is Dick's.
No, that was something else.
I forget what that first one was.
No, I'm talking about Dick's.
Yeah.
We're talking about meaty hamburger. Sorry. And by Dick's, I should explain because it's a Dick joke.
It's a restaurant.
It's a hamburger place called Dick's Hamburgers in Seattle. We made many Dick's jokes at on behalf of at Scott W. Bradford on Twitter, because he loves dicks in his mouth. Everyone should tweet him with that. And just remember to CC, Dusty and myself. And, you know, so he'll understand where all these random tweets about dicks are coming from.
And Jeff.
And Jeff. And Grim Brother One. And Ricari. At Rickizzle, et cetera. Is it Dr. _ Mouse?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so at, you know, Chris Buckley, we were all, basically the entire internet-connected Halo group that goes to, Halo-centric group that goes to PAX Prime.
Yeah.
You know,
basically like the Halo leaders, so to speak.
The Halo leaders, if you want to call it that.
I mean, if you look at it, it's all the big guns from HBO, Well, I don't think Griffball is actually there.
I don't even
there.
Think we're leaders. We're just the people that, if that's what you want to term it. I mean, I used to think like that now, but now it's more we're just all the same. And, you know, it's our friends and family, you know, it's more like family that shows up at PAX. And, you know,
yeah, that's true.
Our PAX family, our extended Halo PAX family, whatever you want to call it. Our internet
family. Guys.
We made fun of Scott because of one comment he made when I was inviting people on Facebook to this event. He made the one joke about dicks in his mouth, and I took a picture of it on my phone and I posted it to the wall, and everyone started. just tweet him about hot, juicy dicks
in
his mouth.
Just so you guys know, Scott is unfortunately the butt of some very, very bad jokes, especially from the first kind of big year that we were there for PAX. Or I guess this
he tweeted about stuff he wasn't supposed to tweet about.
Yeah, and we'll leave it at that.
You guys can go look that up on the internet and try and be internet detectives.
But again, back to
Gamers for Giving.
The charity thing, Gamers for Giving. It's happening, of course, this weekend. So if you're in Michigan and you're in the area, you can definitely check it out if you want to. Granted, the whole snow situation that's up there right now. I bet that's going to make it interesting for people actually getting in for the event. Hopefully it doesn't affect travel plans too much. I think they have a gap in their weather for the next couple of days. I could be wrong. I don't live there, so I don't know the weather exactly. But from what I've heard, it sounds like it's letting up a little bit right now. So hopefully it turns out. Again, you can watch the streams on the weekend too. So February 8th and 9th this weekend, you can head over to twitch.tv/gamersoutreach and watch the streams there. And possibly see Bravo, because he's going to be there and going to be doing some of the live streaming as well. Screenshot Spotlight, of course, going with the current matchmaking theme, is heavies. So we have lots of pictures of tanks and mantises and a few warthogs, wraiths in here. So going for the favorites again this time, I am going to go with Arsenal by Reclaimed Halo. So classic Reclaimed Halo's in there. Stomped by Receptor 17, so he's also in there as well. Big screenshot names in there. We really need to look at getting them on the show. Lurking, also by Receptor 17. Exploratory by Sniper Oxide. And Shell Shock by Gothic Lucy. Those are kind of my favorites out of the set of 10 that we have for this week. What about you guys?
I like Bugged by Drax Sonya and Hog Desktop by AOM Big Smoke.
I gotta go Bugged by Draxara too, because that was the first one I looked at, and I'm like, it looks just like the bugger from Halo 3. I kind of like Big Team Infinity by Ambassador Tommy, depending on how you say it. And just as a really, because I don't know if that's my third choice would be Reclaimed Halo. I don't know if that's on the map or a effect, a lighting effect, but it kind of looks like the rings of Saturn are behind the mantis, and you know,
kind of does.
Yeah, so it's like that just kind of screams like, you know, we're on another planet, you know, or I mean, obviously they are, but
yeah, but well, that's on Outcast.
Yeah, I know. It's just the lighting effect makes it look like a, you know, they're on, oh, yeah, like say Europa or another moon of Saturn or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's always the screenshots that stick out to me personally, is the lighting effects. So I mean, if you look at most of the screenshots that I picked, if not all of them, it's the purely lighting aesthetic look that I go for, not necessarily like whatever's happening in the screenshot at the time. I guess I have a different mindset of when I look for screenshots, because Hog Desktop and Big Team Infinity Slayer are just like, to me, they're just regular screenshots that were taken at some point in the game, where like things like Arsenal and Shell Shocked and Exploratory have certain visual effects that you go in and you really tailor the screenshot. So I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying the other ones are wrong. I'm just saying, like, you know, bad choices. I'm just saying that's the ones, those three are the ones that speak to me aesthetically.
Yeah.
Because the reason I like, you know, I like Big Team Infinity Slayer by Ambassador Tommy. I'm sorry if I butcher your name and you actually do listen to the podcast. It just reminds me of the cover of Halo 1 with the, you know, and that... the very first time we saw, Valhalla, you know, that screenshot with that had the mongoose coming over the hill with the Spartan laser that's shooting over the guy's shoulder, and they had flag. So that's the reason that one speaks to me. It's almost like, you know, if the Spartan laser had been, you know, if the guy had a Spartan laser and it had been shooting over the warthog, I mean, that would basically have been almost the exact same, you know, it's not in the same spot in the map, but it, you know, it that's the reason that one speaks to me.
Got it. Yeah, Bugged looks is just weird.
it looks like a bugger, you know, jacked in a wall with, but I mean, it's made out of, I don't know, whatever.
It's the top of the Wraith.
Oh, it's the Wraith, okay.
Is that actual Wraith cannon on top?
Yeah, I see it now.
With a green glow. Yeah, what about you? Brent. I guess, Brent, you said yours already. Never mind. Sorry about that. Getting a little lost and confused.
Just getting old, guys.
Well, I did turn 25
That's right. You're 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah.
unlike someone that turned...
Hopefully not.
Not me, but I know somebody that turned 40 today in the Halo community. He's got a foot in the grave. I won't mention who, because he's either going to be happy or upset if I do. So we'll just leave it at that. Okay. A prominent Halo community member turned old today, internet. So go either wish him happy birthday or happy funeral. It's at Mr. Kevin Hurd on Twitter.
Well, just, now you just said it.
Yeah, I know.
Take solace in the fact that Halo will probably fall out of the gaming community's conscious by the time you're dead.
Maybe.
Well, you never know. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 10 years.
You know, Disney might buy up Halo from Microsoft and then, you know, start making Halo. I mean, they did that with Halo. Star Wars.
Let's leave that on the table for now, shall we?
The future of Halo. Disney Halo.
Oh, man.
We'll just leave it at that, sorry.
Yeah, let's move on. There's another article that popped up on the Halo Waypoint headlines that I wanted to talk about because it regards some more of the Halo fiction. And that is 343 has signed a deal with Gallery Books to be the basically writing the next series of books for the Halo franchise. So as you guys know, the last book in the Kilo 5 trilogy just came out. So Mortal Dictata.
Yep.
And I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
I was going to say, do you want me to talk about that or should I save it for a show or something?
Save it for a show.
Okay. We still got to do
the second set. We have to do Thursday War and Primordium.
I got through it and it doesn't have, all I'll say is it doesn't have as much action and the other ones didn't have super inordinate amount of action compared to the other ones, like say, you know,
Thursday War.
Well, even Thursday War wasn't the one I was thinking. No, I was thinking previous to that. Sorry, and it's really
first
bad.
One. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm just listening to it now. Hold on. I feel bad and stupid.
To the audiobook?
Yeah, well, I don't have time to, sorry, Ghost of Onyx. Ghost of Onyx.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. Sorry, I just got a text from Scott Bradford about Twitter. So apparently someone's tweeting him.
Well,
about
speaking
Pop
of the devil.
Next. Hold on. He wants to know which podcast. Hold on. One second, internet. What?
Oh, gosh. So.
unlike.
Other topic.
Ghost of Onyx. So it doesn't have as much, say, action as like Ghost of Onyx, but it's very personal. And from a personal standpoint on the characters that are in the book, without spoilers, obviously, I felt it was the most, I mean, I'm not a super fan of Karen Travis and, you know, not everyone is, but I don't hate her, like certain parts of the Halo community. I felt it was a strong personal piece written by Karen Travis and whoever the editor was, you know, on Mortal
Mortal Dictata.
Dictata. Yes. Anyways, the UN, it's supposed to be, what is it? The Mortal, whatever. Yes, that is supposed to be based on the UN charter of cloning that we have nowadays. There's no cloning and stuff. But it's a very personal story. A boot. Because I'm a Canadian, so I got to get that a boot in there, eh? It's a boot, a Spartan, and the ramifications of. Just read the back of the book, and you'll get an idea of what the story is about. So
back
no
cover.
Spoilers. The back cover. That's
okay.
Spoiler enough for you. It's just a real personal story. There's some real tearjerker moments, and I mean I'm not a teary guy, but you know you'll get if you read those parts and you have any kind of a soul as a human being, you'll understand those parts. They'll resonate with you.
Well, I laughed during, like, most of Avatar, so I...
No. I was actually cheering for Colonel Qualrich, whatever his name is, the Colonel. I was
You're
really
having
upset.
Problems with words
was,
tonight, aren't you?
No, well, it's been a while since I've heard the name Colonel Qualrich. It's a Q, so it's like, you
Qualrich,
know...
Qualrich, something.
Whatever. However you say it. Qualrich, whatever. Anyways,
we get it.
I was cheering for the RDA forces, you know, and then of course, you know, the blue monkey cat people had to win by cheating hacks lol nature, you know, Mother Nature steps in when she's supposed to be when they clearly explain Mother Nature does not take sides. Or sorry, whatever the planet's called, the spirit of oh man, I can't
Pandora.
Hear. Pandora, whatever the spirit of Pandora is called. Awa. Yeah, she's not supposed to interfere, but all of a sudden every creature on the planet is like, I'm gonna eat you humans. You know, it's just like, okay, you know, whatever. So the next time the humans come, they're just gonna burn the place to the ground and collect the ore. If that's the way things are gonna be, you know, I'm just saying that's what the humans should do if they want to get unobtainium. They should just come in, burn the place from orbit. Shouldn't even land. Just, you know, we're talking plots of the movie. They want that super awesome unobtainium, and they don't care about the life forms after what happened the last time. They should just come in, not nuke the place, just drop air fuel bombs from high orbit where the monkey people can't get them, and then just go in there and mine the place. But, you know, that would make for a super awesome movie. That would kind of be like, if you guys remember the old school 1982 movie Tron, you know, it would be like Jeff Bridges sitting down in front of the laser, and instead of going inside the machine, he sat down and he just typed uninstall.exe, enter, and the movie ended.
Now, that would be an interesting crossover. Spartans versus Na'vi. Think about it.
I think Qualrich would make a good Spartan. I like this character. Anyways.
Anywho.
So, where were we going? Halo, publishing partners.
Yeah, new publishing partner for the Halo novels.
Yes.
So Gallery Books is going to be the, basically producing the next line of canonical novels for Halo. And 343 has partnered up with them. And there hasn't been really much information other than that. I mean, there's a few comments from, Frankie on it on the post, and then
I would expect
Louis Burke, president of Gallery Books, about his like they're being interested on doing Halo. So
I would expect to see a blurb in May and a cover reveal at San Diego Comic Con, like they've done for the last like 6 years. That's just, you know, a good guess.
That makes sense.
Usually, they just kind of reveal those June or July that the cover comes out.
Well, and they usually reveal those kind of fictional story, or, well, those fictional stories. Those
extended universe.
Yes, thank you. The extended universe stuff at San Diego Comic Con. They have a track record for doing that, so I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that. And then the big thing that is supposed to be coming for E3 is the announcement of whether we're going to get Halo 5 or Halo 2 Anniversary. So that's going to be big. Show. And the Halo TV. Well, they could do the Halo TV show at San Diego Comic Con.
We're talking about publishing partners, and that about a year ago on CBS's. Not even a year ago, 6 months ago, CBS had put their coming 2014 TV licensed shows as Halo the series. Now, this is complete conspiracy theory, and I had posted this on HBO, and it got made news. You know, I said, take it with a grain of salt, all that kind of stuff. Now, this new publishing partner, if you look, is a subsidiary of CBS. So I think CBS has the rights to the Halo TV show.
So the thing about the Halo TV show, though, is supposed to be on Xbox programming, 5, not TV programming.
But they never said exclusively for Xbox. Why can't it 6 months down the road pop up on TV? I mean, how else are you going to get a larger audience? I mean, the Halo TV show is great. You know, you'll be able to get it with Xbox Live Gold or whatever. Or it'll be included as a streamable version. But, I mean, ultimately, it's going to come to Blu-ray and DVD and stream and this and that. You know why? Because I just saw Spartan Halo 4, Forward Unto Dawn. I took a screenshot of it. It was on TV the other day.
Really?
Yeah, here, I'll email it to you. Halo Spartan Assault was on Space Channel.
Like an ad or the actual?
No, the actual full TV show. I took a picture of it in the TV guide or the on-screen guide. It was on, I don't know.
Wow.
I caught it only with the last half hour, but it was on at like, so I'm going to guess it was on at midnight. It was on till 2:30 in the morning on whatever day I captured this picture, but I got a picture of it in the menu actually. Yeah. So I forgot to post that in the news on like a Halo site, but yeah, no, it was on Space Channel up here in Canada.
Wow.
So
okay, cool.
So I'm just putting my conspiracy
Halo's
theories
going out. Mainstream, everybody.
Just for good or for worse, hat on, because CBS, like I said, had that on, and then as soon as I put that up, a day later it came down, and now CBS is a publishing partner because they own the new books. So I'm just saying, like, you know, it just really conspiracy you know, it's just a bunch of coincidences that seem to be lining up based on, you know, cursory evidence.
No, it makes sense. And this is and, a CBS and, company and the, for the book. So
the other funny thing is the person that they got working on the Halo series, like one of the media people, was a manager or some super high up over at CBS and came over to Halo, over to Microsoft Studios in Los Angeles. So, you know, it just makes sense, really, in the long run. Sorry.
Interesting.
Anyways, I'm not Very starting rumors. These are not rumors. These are just my ramblings of, you know, things I see on the internet, people, just so you know.
Okay, then. So that wraps it up pretty much for the news this week. One last thing I wanted to touch on was the fact that Halo Spartan Assault came out for the Xbox 360 last week. It actually came out last Friday on January 31st, so forgot to mention that. Sorry, guys. But Brent, you have had a chance to play a little bit of said Spartan Assault. So what are your first reactions to the game?
I hated the shotgun at first, but then it became a decent weapon, and now it's kind of like the most, not mediocre, it's an okay dual stick shooter, but it's not exciting for some reason. I can play it. I'm going to play it all the way through just because it's Halo. Like, just because it's branded with Halo, I will play it. I know the weapons. I know what they do. I know the enemies. I know the backstory. Like, I will just play it for that reason alone. But as a game, if I just separate it from the Halo branding, it's not, like, incredibly fun. I would not just choose to play that in my spare time if it had no Halo branding in it.
Did you play Smash TV? Do you remember that game from like the early 90s?
Oh yeah, I've played other dual stick shooters.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, the way I look at it is it's Halo, it's Smash TV skinned with Halo. I mean, you know, with lore written in and stuff like that.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know how that plays out today, you know. It's not 1990, you know, 2 or 3 or whatever anymore. It's 2014.
No, that's true, but I mean, when you're playing on a phone, I mean, do you expect you're going to be able to play a first person
shooter
Halo?
Yeah, but this
isn't
on a phone for me. I mean,
well,
for
yeah,
me,
yeah. I mean, they ported it over. Yeah. Sorry,
it's
no.
A port of a port of a mobile game.
yeah. Like I mean, I didn't. I played it for 5 minutes after a friend of ours won a UNSC Surface Pro at Comic-Con. We played it for a little bit there on, but again, it didn't have controller support yet at that point, so it was like, can't play. And then, you know, like you're saying, it's a port of a port of a port. It felt kind of, agree or disagree, the controls for aiming felt a little off. Like, I mean, you could spray in the general direction, but it felt like, I don't know, I didn't check, so I'm probably wrong on this, but I don't remember if you could adjust the thumbstick sensitivity in the game, or could you? It just felt like every time I was too twitchy. Like, I'd be aiming, like, say, the assault rifle, and then, you know, I'd twitch, and then my bullets would go spraying off, like, a huge direction. It took a little while getting used to the thumbstick aiming. Agree or disagree that it was too sensitive, and if there was an option to change it, I forget. I didn't look, so I feel bad, and I'm probably wrong. So
I know there wasn't an option to change it.
And the other thing is, there was no legendary difficulty. That kind of made me mad. I wanted legendary. Even if there was no achievement, I'm kind of a legendary whore when it comes to Halo.
Oh, I am too. I think all three of us are, pretty much.
I'm not a legendary whore. You can speak for yourself.
Really? You don't like to complete the game on the hardest difficulty?
I enjoy playing legendary, but I am no legendary whore, sir. I am a 100% legendary player.
You're a connoisseur.
I'm a legendary fan. Yes, connoisseur of fine legendary game types.
I shouldn't have said I was a whore. I mean, I basically.
I just think of it as someone that needs to play the game on legendary, at least, like, to get everything done for legendary.
For
that's what I consider, like, legendary whore. Because I know most people would be on heroic, and that'd probably be it.
For me, as a connoisseur of Halo, you know, air quotes, with fingers, as Brent is a connoisseur and I'm a whore, apparently, because I call myself a whore, I don't consider Halo to exist except other than legendary. That's what kind of a snob I am when it comes to Halo. I'm sorry, I'll play on other difficulties, but my first playthrough with whoever I play with, it's legendary or don't even step into the game with me. That's just the way I am. I'm a snob when it comes to my first playthrough on a Halo game. It has to, well, with the exception of Halo Wars, because that is the most frustrating.
That was weird.
Legendary game. It took me forever to get that on Legendary, but even worse than Halo 2.
I still
2
need
on
to get
Legend-
it on Legendary.
Even worse than Halo 2 on Legendary. I mean, you know, you can at least play Halo 2 on Legendary. Halo Wars on Legendary without the skulls, all the skulls that help buff, and without, you know, the skulls that debuff the Covenant and all that stuff. That game is super hard. Sorry, I'm a Legendary kind of, you know, snob. My first playthrough has to be on Legendary if I play co-op.
My first playthrough, and most of the time whenever I do, like, whenever they had the challenges for the campaign in Reach, I always did those on Heroic. I like playing on Heroic, and I believe it was Frankie that said, hey, the difficulty for Halo is intended
canon,
to be Heroic.
Yeah, the
canonical difficulty is Heroic.
I mean, I can't play anything really above Legendary. Like, if you play Mythic or whatever it is, Mythic difficulty.
Lazo or Mythic.
I can't play Lazo or whatever it is. I need my HUD at the very least. Even if my guns shoot popcorn and my melees are basically like pillows hitting someone, I still need my HUD. That's the one thing I need. My HUD and my HUD and radar. I need those. There's only so much crippling I can take, and then I'm just useless at Halo.
Fair enough. Yeah, Halo Wars was definitely a different experience, and I still need to go through and play to get all the achievements and finish it on Legendary difficulty and get all the additional unlocks and unlock the timeline that's there. I think more than half of it's still locked for me.
We'll play now that you need to add me to Xbox Live.
That is true. I have to find someone to remove.
Oh, you don't have the Xbox One? I thought you did.
Well, I thought you wanted me to add you on Legacy Xbox.
Well,
but I can add you on Xbox One.
No, you can do both. Anyways, Brent needs to finish his review of Halo Spartan Assault Singers.
Yes.
Stole that away from him. Sorry, Brent.
No, I'm done. That was about all I can say. I've only been through, like, one operation or whatever they call it.
Okay, then I won't delve too much into what I was going to say about Spartan Assault. My short and sweet or too long didn't read version is, it's a nice blend of old Halo and new Halo, and it's nice that they brought the weapons effects back, and certain vehicles from other Halo games that haven't existed and finally came back into the universe. So, you know, seeing the Halo Wars vehicles along with, you know, older weapons and weapons that got replaced back in the Halo timeline, and they're actually there, like, do you care? I don't want to give spoilers. Let's just put it this way. There's plenty of Halo Wars UNSC vehicles back in Halo Spartan Assault, and stuff like that kind of stuff makes me smile. And the original Halo sound, like, the assault rifle and the original shotgun from, like, Halo 2, 3, and 1, and whatnot, that's all back.
Well, I believe most of those sounds were from Halo Reach.
Oh, well, okay. I'm not going 343 Halo or Bungie Halo, but the original sounds that most people would associate, not the newer updated ones from, like, Halo 4.
Yeah, the Bungie sounds. I consider them the Bungie sounds of Halo.
Sure. I'll just quote the original sounds, since Bungie doesn't own the IP anymore. The original Bungie-created sounds, if that's what you want to call them.
Well, Bungie still made them, so
I mean, it's okay
to call them Bungie.
Yeah, okay, the Bungie sounds. Okay. So the original Bungie sound animations just added more flavor to the game. And it was, yes, it was just nice to have everything that, you know, nothing was excluded. Like, 343's Halo was Palmer and Davis, and Ensemble / Robot Entertainment's Halo Wars was the vehicles that were in there. Which one? I don't want to give spoilers because some people like to have that surprise. And Bungie's Halo was a certain species from previous Covenant or Halo games were in there with their original armor designs. And, you know, then you had newer, you know, the elites looked like 343s and Jackals actually looked like the original Jackals, not the variant species that we got in Halo 4. The grunts looked like the grunts from Halo 4, and you know, that's not really spoilers, because, I mean, but I'm not going to say which new species come back unless people want, you know, spoilers and stuff.
Well, I mean, the game has been out for a while, so people probably know.
Okay, so the brutes, let's get in there. Brent, do you care about minor spoilers, like what species are in the game and stuff like that?
No, I don't care.
Okay, so, and spoilers, sorry if anybody's listening really cares, but, you know, too bad. The brutes are back with the Halo 3 designs. You know, you got your buggers back. You got the jackals.
Freaking
that look
buggers.
Like jackals. Yeah, you know, stuff that wasn't in Halo 4 and, you know, came back. And in Halo, for Halo Wars, you get to drive the Scorpion tank. I mean, you can get into a Scorpion tank if you want, but you get to drive the Grizzlies, which the Grizzlies back. You got the updated Scorpion with the turret, you know, that, you know, you can actually control like in Halo 1 and 2 from your own main turret or your tank. And it actually, what's really cool and the reason I like this is, you know, like in Halo 1 and 2, you had to aim the turret to get the machine gun to fire, you know, like your tank cannon, you actually had to aim it. You don't actually have to do that. On this one, you can actually use your machine gun turret to shoot behind you while you keep your tank turret forward. That was a cool, like, thing that I liked that I think should be in Halo, future Halo, like the main games. Like, if I can have my machine gun covered in my backside and I can aim my turret forward, that would be awesome. Then the Wolverines? Was it Wolverine? No. Whatever the missile trucks from Halo Wars are called, I'm pretty sure they're called the Wolverines.
I believe that's right, yeah.
Okay, so the Wolverines were back, and you actually have to do an escort mission. Now, Brent, did you do any melee attacks in the game, like, for the little bit that you played?
Yeah, like, in the first, like, two missions.
Okay.
And then I quit.
Am I the only person that really felt satisfied when you actually wind, like, whatever weapon you're using, like the brute shot. Oh, yeah, brute shots back, stuff like that, you know, stuff that we all missed is actually back in the game. So, like, say you had the assault rifle. Palmer or Davis flip the gun over and use it like a club, but they wind up like a baseball bat and club. It's not like it's the quick melee, like, where you punch someone. It's like they like, wind up and go crack. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah, it's satisfying. It's not like an instant melee in Halo.
It's a power melee or something like that. And other little touches that I really liked, you know, from a canon standpoint is, like I was saying, I don't know if it recorded, but you told me to save it till now, you know, Marines, you know, run at their speed, but as a Spartan, not even using an armor ability like sprint, you know, you haul ass in front of the Marines like you're supposed to. As a Spartan, you're supposed to be able to haul ass. You put on... I almost snorted, but you put on your sprint armor ability and, well, the Marines have no chance. Nothing on the map has any chance. You're basically Neo bullet dodging, you know, Matrix timing all over the place when you have the sprint assault or sprint armor mod on. You know, cool stuff that is only in Halo Wars so far. You know, it's only in the Flood co-op mode is... Okay, so SMGs are back, so you can dual wield. Dual wielding's back in Halo, everybody. Woo! But I would really kill to have they have these new machine pistols that are in the co-op mode. They're basically the M6, but they're Glocks, and you just spray down, like, you know, these you know, two machine pistols instead of the SMGs. I'd love to have that dual wielding in Halo 5, and, you know, machine pistols. I mean, you know, because who doesn't like machine pistols? What else was there? The drone. Sorry, that's a new armor ability where you have like this, it's kind of like the drone from Halo 4 where you kind of go rrr, and, you know, you like have like a poop attack and you kind of shoot out this thing, like this drone, but this one's a UNSC one and it flies over and it suicide bombs or it flies into the target that you designate and blows up and kills everything instantly. I found that ultimately satisfying, trolling the sword elites with my drone, the invisible ones, you know, with active camo. You just stand back and then, you know, spit out this like drone and it flies over, scans them, and then just drops down and kills them instantly instead of, you know, trying to tangle with the, you know, ultra elites with energy swords.
See, I haven't really dived into the armor abilities outside the ones that you just pick up on the maps because I haven't really gotten to the whole micro market system that's in the game.
I haven't either. I haven't. And anybody that's talking about microtransactions, I mean, yes.
Microtransactions, there you go.
Yeah, okay. So, anybody that's going to complain about it, you're completely off base. as long as you've played Halo 4, you get basically an unlock for free. As long as you've got the, you know, as long as you played, like, beat it on Legendary or Heroic, or you played some of the multiplayers and you got some of the achievements, it gives you free, I don't know if it's like that for the 360 version, but at least on the Xbox One version, it gives you free unlocks for upgraded, you know, either point multipliers, you know, what the heck's that?
Different weapons, I think.
Well, different weapons, damage multipliers, different armor abilities. It gives you that just for having played Halo 4 and unlocking achievements. So,
yeah,
I mean,
but those are limited.
Yeah, but it's enough that you can get through the game, and you know, if I was facing the final boss, which I did, and I didn't have that achievement unlocked, and I would've, and I didn't have the XP, and it would have been a real struggle to beat that boss, because I didn't realize I had an achievement and I had a certain weapon, which, or achievement that unlocked the sniper rifle, until I was like, I was mad, like I was kind of pissed, like the difficulty of the final boss, because it's like he's a for lack of a better word, is a bullet sponge, and the guns that they give you by default and the guns that are on the map and the amount of fodder that flies at you when you try and take on this boss, it's extremely infuriating. And, you know, once I had that sniper rifle where I could, like, you know, just spam it and take off his health a quarter at a time, it was fine. He was dead, like, within 20 seconds. But when you had nothing but the SMGs and what's that plasma rifle from Halo Reach?
The plasma repeater?
Yeah, the repeater. It was the repeater that was in the game, I'm pretty sure. One thing is, there's a bunch of weapons back from Reach. Like, I called it the Baconator, but it was the I called it the Baconator. I don't know why. It was the energy sniper rifle. It wasn't the one from Halo 3 and the one that's back in 4. It was the one that was just
the focus rifle.
Focus rifle. Yeah, we called it
rifle.
I called it the Baconator, just because it's like you hit someone with that and you turned them into crispy meat, basically. Yeah, the focus rifle is actually back in you know, Halo Spartan Assault. So stuff like that, they brought back. Like, I mean, there's no reason to take it out other than, you know, gameplay. But from a canon standpoint, it's nice to see it didn't just up and go away, right? Like, it's actually still there. Like, you have dual SMGs again, and, you know, you have, like, you know, the focus rifle. You know, it would have been cool to see the needle rifle back, but, you know, the needlers...
Well, they can't put everything in there, so...
No, I know, and that's what I'm saying. It was cool that these things were all back. And that's why I really appreciate the effort that 343 put, like, that Spartan Assault from a everything melded together, that was like one of my favorite experiences of a Halo game so far, is everything just kind of meshed nicely together of the three companies that have currently worked on Halo, which is Bungie, you know, 343 and Ensemble. Robot Studios. Yeah, it was a nice mesh of all the, you know, content that's been created and worked together in a nice little neat package.
Yeah. I've only got to play through it once, so I haven't really had the chance to really appreciate the story of Spartan Assault, but I know from just a functionality standpoint and actually playing it for game mechanics, it's actually a pretty solid experience, other than the whole use of the controller, because I forget what... there's a mini game in Call of Duty Black Ops where it's like one of those unlock things, and they have
the
top down
shooter
too.
Little arcade zombie game, yeah.
And it was yeah. So whenever you want to fire in there, you just move the stick and then you start shooting.
You can do that if you hold down the trigger. Brent, maybe you've experienced this in the 360 version of the game. If you get in, I can't remember. If there's a vehicle in the first level or two, but all I know is when I held down the trigger and I got into, like, a tank or something, and then I jumped out, my gun would just start, no matter what gun it was, it would just start spraying whatever, you know, ammunition. Would not stop shooting. So I had to jump out of a tank, back into a tank, you know, just to, like, over and over until it just finally stopped shooting. That made me mad, like, on a final level where my sniper rifle was just, like, spamming the 20 shots that I had left, and it's like it only came with 20 shots. It was like...
Well, no, it's like, you have to... What I was going to say is you have to look and then pull the trigger.
Well, there is a mechanic where you can actually, I think it's the left trigger, and you aim with your thumbstick. You can actually quasi-aim down sight without actually firing.
I remember using the controller, and this was on the PC, so it may have been different. It may have changed it for the console version. But you walked with the left stick, and you aimed with the right stick, but you didn't fire with
That's exactly it. You're aiming, like, you only aim when you pull the trigger. That's what I was saying. Like,
you only aim without the trigger, and then you have to actually pull the trigger to fire.
That's what I was saying. There was a glitch, at least in the Xbox One version, where if you're firing in a vehicle constantly, like, say, the Wraith and the tanks, they have the secondary weapon. Like, so you're always constantly spamming your machine gun, right? Or your plasma turret, like in the Wraith. So if you were to jump out of a vehicle with that, your main guns, whether you're aiming or not, and pulling the trigger, would just start spraying whatever weapon you were holding in your hand. So if you had a Spartan laser, an assault rifle, SMGs, etc., there is a bug for whatever reason. Even if you switched weapons, it would just constantly spray. That's why I was asking Brent if that bug was in the 360 version.
No, I haven't experienced it yet, but I know one bug where if you have the hollow skull on and you run into a Wraith, like, just the damage of trying to run up to it and board
you
it.
You fall over and die. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a bug or a feature, but it's stupid. I mean,
that was one of the things where I was going to comment. Now, I'm glad you brought it up. It was like, the Ghost or the Wraith or whatever, even if you stand in front of your own Wolverines and they bump you while they're moving, you die. I was sitting there going, either someone really loves the Halo 1 vehicle, the kills, or it's a bug, or both, you know. And the thing is, you can't board a vehicle unless you get it on, you get into range, and you have to be on one of those dots, either on the two on the sides, the left or the right, or the one in the front. You try boarding right from the back, it doesn't work.
Yeah, you have to be on the dots in order to actually board a vehicle.
Yeah.
Well, Spartan Assault is fun for the most part. I still haven't played it on the console yet. I've only played it on the PC. So I gotta get to the consoles eventually and get those achievements.
Yeah, and one of the things that kind of made people mad, at least on the Xbox One version, if you care about achievements and you care about Waypoint and Waypoint's, level thingy? Like the numbers, your Waypoint career?
Yeah, I'm forgetting what it is at the moment.
Waypoint career. But apparently the Xbox One achievements don't apply to your Waypoint career. It's only 360 titles. And the codes that apparently you could use, like on the PC version, to unlock EXP for Halo 4 don't work for the Xbox One version. And there's two achievements apparently on the Xbox One that are glitched that you can't unlock for whatever reason, even though I know I've done it. Like, I've achieved it, and hopefully they'll unglitch those, because there's another reason I can't finish Halo 4's achievements, because there was that one with the where you had to get... on the DLC maps where you had to get 5 kills or 6 kills or whatever with Forerunner weapons. I know I got 6 kills with the grenade damage and boost and whatever you call them, the Forerunner grenades. And I know I killed 6 guys and it just wouldn't pop. I did it several times, wouldn't pop. So
you have to make sure you actually kill them with the grenade.
Yeah, I know. The energy burst. Yeah, I know. The energy burst. I did it. Trust me. I know I did. You know, we even had DLC, you know, achievement boosting parties, and I got every it just didn't work, you know. And this was after we, you know, I tried doing it legitimately. It just didn't work. But so my final feedback, since I finished the game, is it's a nice package. I think it should have been $10, and it could have been higher res on the Xbox One / PC version. That's all.
Also, they should have gave me an entire armor set in Halo 4 to use.
That would have been nice too. Like if you beat it as you know, no one wants Palmer armor. Well, maybe some people do. But like, you know, it would have been cool if you got like an armor skin for any armor, no matter which one you have, and it would just apply to your favorite armor set or an actual unlocked armor set.
I honestly haven't looked into that, so I would have to go back and check.
So are we talking about Halo news? Did you hear about what ancient ship may or may... This is, of course, rumor. Not rumor control, but it's have you read or seen anything on Halo Escalation, that new comic series that came out within the last few weeks or whatever, or not weeks, months?
I mean, we know it started coming out, but we haven't talked about it since it was announced on the Waypoint blog.
Basically, the Arbiter's back and some stuff and things happen without giving spoilers. But on issue 5, now I'm not spreading rumors. This is complete fact because it was on the Dark Horse website. Issue 5 states the crew of the Infinity and Admiral Hood find behind enemy lines a legendary ship that has been missing for nearly 30 years. Now, I can speculate on what ship that may be that disappeared in a certain game that many people love and didn't get a sequel so far. There's only 2 ships it possibly could be that are legendary. Now, I will leave that up to your audience unless you want me to speculate on what ship that is.
Well, I can think of one for sure.
It had its very own game, and we were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, I can't think of another one, though.
The only 2 ships it possibly could be that have gone missing within the last 30 years was the UNSC Everest, which had Preston Cole on it, and that comes from Halo Evolutions. The title of the book is called, or story is, I'm going to butcher it, but I'm the... it's the Preston Cole story, the something life of Preston Cole. It's like the miserable life of Preston Cole or something like that. No, literally. And he basically, what happens is he jumps away in the ship as he blows up a huge Covenant fleet. Now, they didn't find the wreckage, but the thing is, in the timeline wise, it's too early because that happened in the 2540s. So it would have only been 20 years. Now, it makes sense, because the Spirit of Fire is the only other missing UNSC ship in the stories and the games and whatever, the whole universe, that has been missing. It's not quite 30 years that it's gone missing by the timeline based on Halo 4 and when the comic Halo Escalation comes out. It's only a year and a half off, so it's nearly 30 years. So, you know, this is all pure speculation, audience, but we may... and likely have a resolution of what happened to the Spirit of Fire from Halo Wars. Now, don't
Halo Wars 2!
Hey, maybe it does lead into it, but at least hopefully we finally have a resolution. Whether that be the entire crew is, you know, because there was an infection form or, you know, on the UNSC Spirit of Fire as they fled, you know, that shield world, and the whole, you know, maybe this is how the Flood comes back. You know, the entire Spirit of Fire, you know, is, you know, been floodified and they couldn't go anywhere because, you know, they didn't have the FTL engine and they were stuck going slower than light, you know, relativistic speeds and all that. You know, maybe, you know, whatever. I mean, the people's minds have gone crazy since they gleamed this, the Spirit of Fire might be coming back. Like, the conspiracy theories are nuts going all over the place. So that's why I said pure speculation. Other than the fact that there is a legendary ship that's coming back that's been missing for nearly 30 years for the UNSC, and it's on the Dark Horse website. So, you know, if you want to go type up Dark Horse, you know, in Google or Bing or whatever it is you use, Yahoo, you know, you type Dark Horse issue number 5, Halo Escalation, and it will give you the nice little blurb of, you know, recap of what's going to come up in that comic.
Alrighty then. I think we're going to talk about the comics once we get done with the Kilo 5 and the Forerunner trilogy.
Sure.
Because I have Halo Initiation. I have that. I got that off Amazon after everything was done. So I have the hard back of that.
The 4 issues or whatever. Yeah. And the big, thick version. The good version.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have that. And I'll read that when I'm done with Mortal Dictata. And then I'll probably do the same thing for Halo Escalation. Once all the issues are out, I'll get the pre-order on Amazon for the hardback and read that too.
So Brent, how do you feel about the news that maybe the Spirit of Fire is coming back?
I really don't care that much. I mean, it's not that I don't care as a Halo fan. I just don't. I didn't play Halo Wars. I don't know that much about it. Just
do yourself a favor. Just at least watch the YouTube cinematics of Halo Wars.
Yeah, I should probably do that.
Oh man,
the story for Halo Wars is definitely one of the better Halo storylines.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do yourself a favor if you like. if you like the Prophet of Regret and you know, just nice, like if you like the cutscenes from Halo 4, and even if it just from an aesthetic point of view, just the nice facial animations, do yourself a favor and watch the, because I mean, even one of the features on Halo Wars is once you beat the game, you can press play and watch the cinematics as a 50-minute movie back to back, and it's cut with, you know, and made it look to make a movie. I mean, it
well, those cinematics are, I mean, if you think of all the Halo games that have come out, are probably the best cinematics out there.
Well, yeah, because they were all done external. They weren't done in engine like Halo 4, 3, Reach, ODST. You know, like Halo 4's prologue and epilogue were done by Axis Animations, the same guy that did Spartan Ops cutscenes. But and maybe they did Halo Wars. But anyways, not, yeah, but the CG is really top-notch, and the characters are really interesting as well. And you get some more Spartan 2s, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Spartan 2s. I want to see those come back in Halo. I want to see John's team come back. Or what's left of John's team come back.
Well, the only person that's missing from it, well, actually, John's team's all there. I mean, well,
except for one. Or two, actually.
Well, was Will part of Blue Team? Was he? No, sorry, I'm talking to myself. Well, Linda, Kelly, and Fred, they've always been on Blue, and John was the leader of Blue. I know Will was part of Blue when in Ghost of Onyx, but I can't remember if he was always part of Blue or not. At least there's a foreman if John returns and, you know, he hasn't gone all rogue like the internet specifies or speculates. there's at least a four-person Blue team of Spartan 2s, plus Naomi, which isn't Blue team, but you know, she could come back to it. She could join Blue Team, which is off with Kilo 5. And I think that's all that's left.
Well, there's another rogue. Well, not rogue, necessarily, but
well, I guess
the one in Call Protocol?
Yeah, Gray Team.
Gray Team.
We don't know what happened to them. For all we know, the next novel could be about Gray Team. And, of course, if the Spirit of Fire is still alive, then there's Red Team, which is Jerome. And I can't remember the other ones. Jerome was the Spartan leader of Red Team. There's two other. There's a female Spartan and another male Spartan. Can't remember their names. But
so pins in the chat actually nailed the person that I was thinking of is Sam.
Sam. Oh well, Sam can't
he died
come back. He was like the first Spartan 2 to die after they became augmented. He died on that Covenant ship after having his arm. No, not arm. He got shot in the stomach or whatever, and his suit became unpressurized or something.
He had to stay behind. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I was thinking of
he was the only loss of the team so far.
I couldn't remember. I was thinking of the Spartan that had his arm blasted off by hunters, but he got out. Can't remember his name.
So many names to know, but that's interesting that we may see. It's kind of evidence to possibly a second Halo Wars or
and of
more
course
of the story coming back into it. And if that is a key part of having the Flood come back, I think that'd be an interesting way to do it.
There's also Spartan Black Team, which was also from Bloodlines, Halo Bloodlines comic. So they're out there somewhere until either dead or, you know, a story happens. So there's plenty of Spartan 2s left. You know, that aren't crippled.
And I would love to see those stories be at least written in the novels. I would like to see them actually be incorporated into the game and with Master Chief. But
if
not that, at least the books. At least address them in the books.
Which is why I kind of like Spartan Assault, because it brings, although, I mean, there wasn't the novel stuff, but I mean, it brought all the main games together as one, you know, one package. I mean, Halo, without giving spoilers away for Halo Escalation, much like Halo Spartan Assault, you'll see certain armor designs and certain weapons and certain things from Bungie Halo and Halo or Ensemble, Halo Ensemble Wars, Halo Wars and stuff like that actually show up as part of the universe, as a cohesive universe. They didn't just disappear because ta-da, we got rid of them, or whatnot. At least in Escalation and Spartan Assault, they're starting to you know, meld them together. And it's nice to see it in a game format.
Yeah, I agree. But like, we'll see what they do with it, though.
Like, I mean, wouldn't it have
been... the universe is open and vast, and that's one of the kind of cool things about the Halo universe, really, is they have so much content to pull from that they could really kind of turn the game into whatever they want in terms of doing the campaign story, and they have plenty to write about as well.
Like, the closest thing that we've gotten from, I guess, characters from the books in the game... I mean, Lasky and Palmer and Del Rio are from the Kilo 5 trilogy, so that's the first step. But the first time that an instance where a character from the books was in the game, and it was really cool that 343 did this, was in Halo Anniversary, where you got out of your, you know, when you came up to your cryopod on the Pillar of Autumn, and you took that, you know, if you went down the left-hand side, you actually saw that Linda was, you know, dead in her pod, sorry, on life support or whatever, and, you know, they put that, you know, they opened that room on the other side of the cryo bay where Linda was stored. Like, that was the first time that they mentioned a extended universe character in an actual game, even though it was the remake or whatever, you know, of Anniversary or Combat Evolved. It was cool that they did that, and that's the first step to going forward and doing that. I mean, then you had Del Rio and Lasky was in his own movie with Chief, and, you know, so they're on their way. I'm just hoping we'll get more of it in the next...
Oh, we will. We definitely will. But...
I get to meet Ron Perlman in a couple weeks. That's gonna be cool. I get to meet Admiral Hood. Yeah. Sorry.
Some in people Seattle. Will just... Yeah, yeah. Just rub it in. Rub it in. Rub it in.
Oh, and Alan Tudyk. That's gonna be fun.
Okay. Or on that note. On that note, we're gonna wrap up. I have a friend who would love to meet him. Actually, he's a big Firefly fan.
Yeah, they're. You were asking me when we were on Facebook about E's, too many C's.
Yeah,
they're both gonna be at Emerald City Comic Con, so that's gonna be cool.
Lucky. Anyways, that pretty much wraps it up for the show tonight, guys. I want to thank you, Laird, for coming on the show. As always, you're most welcome.
Thank you for having me again. Sorry if I took over your show, guys. But I like
it's all right. We didn't have much content to really cover, so it was good to have some other
filler
topic. I wouldn't say filler because a lot of it was actually really good discussion. But it was good to kind of glean on some other areas of Halo. And there's some other things that I need to actually just sit down and get organized to do stuff for the other books and getting our big discussion shows going as well, because those are supposed to be starting up this month, and I currently don't have a plan because of the Halo Mole.
I was just going to say, how's the mole stuff going? I guess that answer it.
I mean, we're in production right now. Timelines are it's a struggle because I'm doing quite a bit of the technical work, and since I'm new to a lot of stuff, and yeah, I work full time as well. It's just it's hard.
You're preaching to the choir, man.
It's like underestimating how much time and effort it would actually take to do this.
Now imagine if it was time for PAX and you were, so you're doing your full-time job, planning for PAX, production, and then, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're literally only going to have 2 or 3 hours a night to sleep if you were to put your full energies into it, and sometimes not even that.
Yeah. It's been interesting.
Just don't put yourself in the hospital like I did in a very similar situation.
I'll try not to. Thank you for that lovely image.
Oh, no, it's the truth. That's how I got started with the whole charity thing. I've told you the story a million times, so. But just don't put yourself in the, you know, take care of yourself. Make sure you actually, you know, make time for sleep and hygiene and food and health. Health overall, number one.
Yes, very much so. Because if you're not here, then you can't make the stuff in the first place.
Exactly.
So, good stuff. So, again, thank you, Laird, for coming on board and filling in a little bit of airtime with us tonight. We appreciate it. Brent, again, my lovely co-host, thank you for coming on with us tonight. And for all of our listeners out there, whether it be live or via download, thank you for tuning into our podcast. Remember, we do our live stream at 8:30 p.m. on Thursday nights. Precluded by our wacky Wednesday event on Wednesday nights at 8:30. So check us out on the live stream or come and hang out with us during Wacky Wednesday. Either one would be really, really cool. Make sure you check out our website, podtaggler.com, and while you're there, you can send us some Halo newsworthy stuff. So it could be anything that you read up online about Halo. If you have something that you're making in Halo, whether it be a game type or a map, anything that's Halo related, basically, just send it on over to us. submissions@podtaggler.com, or you can hit the big green submit button on our homepage as well. Of course, you can hit us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all the nice social media places as well. And for those that are interested in some of the stuff that's coming down the pipeline, again, forums are in the works. I've had a couple people come and ask me about that, and they are scheduled to come. Halo Mole is kind of taking precedence right now, so once that's done, the forums are the next thing on the list to take care of.
I'm so ready for the forums. I can't wait. I love forums. Oh, man.
And I know a few people that have been listening.
You sounded a little aroused there.
Oh, yeah. The forums are back, man. Oh.
I know people are really wanting to see those back, and I'm sorry for kind of dropping the ball so long on them, but our old forums, we had some PHP problems on our hosts, so we're actually going to move those to our new host, and our blog, the WordPress site, which is actually what runs our homepage, is going to be moved over to a new host as well. So those will be coming as soon as the Halo Mole is done. That is the next thing on the list.
Can I make a small suggestion in the meantime if you wanted to have forums up right away?
I mean, I could just put up a generic forum board.
I was just going to say, why not just get a Google Plus community going on at the moment?
I don't like Google Plus personally.
Okay, fair enough. Sorry, just throwing
it's an interesting
there.
Thought. I mean,
a Facebook page or something, just a place where people
so
can
chat.
So
we have a Facebook page.
Oh, okay. There you go. Never mind.
Yeah. We have Twitter.
Well, yes.
And we have Twitter. That's all you need.
That's where the kids are, right?
Yeah, that's where a lot of the gaming community seems to be focused is Twitter. And I personally like Twitter.
Oh, I like Twitter too.
But yeah, we have a Facebook page. So people post stuff on there from time to time. It's not as often, and it's definitely not as regular as it has been in the past, especially under the guise of Fumo Jive and JVB when Halo was in its prime. But we get our little community interactions every now and then, which is nice to see.
I think you should have a Podtacular meetup at PAX, kind of like what Ready Up Live does.
So I'm thinking that may be possible this year.
If it's just at East or Prime, do it wherever you go. RTX, Prime.
It'll either be RTX and or Prime.
There you go. You guys heard it first here, audience. You know, go to Austin, Texas, or Seattle, meet Duststorm and
Indeed.
Brett. Are you going, Brett, to RTX or PAX?
He will be at RTX.
There you go.
Probably be at RTX, You're, maybe.
Do a live broadcast.
You will be
PAX.
At RTX because I already bought your
or
ticket.
RTX.
Well, I mean, I'm going to try to get there, but I mean, it's one thing to get the ticket, but I actually have to position myself into Austin somehow.
Dusty can drive in his brand new car, pick you up.
That'd be all right.
I don't know if I would actually drive 1,600 miles in that
car.
Okay,
so you guys, why not, man? It'd be almost, I don't know what flights in the States cost, but I mean, what's gas in your area per gallon, roughly?
You're talking to Brent or me?
You, because you'd obviously be driving since you got the new car. I mean, what, 350?
Well, I mean, it'd be going across.
He chips in, like, what, $100 in gas? He'd chip in, like, $100? There you go, $200.
It'd be more like, for the gas to get out there, it'd be more than $200, just one way.
For 1,600 miles? Are you sure?
Yeah.
SUV?
It's not getting as good gas mileage as advertised.
Oh, okay.
It gets about 22 miles to the gallon on highway.
Okay, mine's 44. I've got a fucking, excuse my language, I've got an 2006, sorry, it's not a Dodge anymore, it's a Chrysler Neon, so, you know, I'm driving that cool car.
Well, I have a V6 Ford Explorer, and I got the V6 for towing stuff.
That's why I said, you know,
moving
okay.
stuff.
So, there you go, it cost me $40 to fill my tank up.
Someone recommended doing a Kickstarter to get Brent to RTX.
Probably could, didn't the Griffball guys.
So they did it for a booth. That? They didn't do it necessarily to get someone somewhere.
Their
costs went to booth stuff. They didn't spend any of that money on travel.
Fair enough. I like the thought. You know,
you like the thought.
Kickstarter.
What if I just start walking right now?
No. No, this is actually a good thing because I've seen people on Rooster Teeth do this and actually get to like Rooster Teeth's former comic artist Luke McKay. Did the same thing. He did a Kickstarter commission thing where he would, if you donated and he made enough money to get to RTX and get his booth as he would draw your picture if you were one of the Kickstarter, you know, like a drawing by Luke McKay sketch or whatever. That was your reward, you know, whether it was $1 or $50 or however much you donated. So I don't know. You could do something, Brent, something podtacular related to if you get the RTX or something.
I can offer lame puns and comment on your clothing.
It'll be like our own version of Barbara.
you could be like in real life YouTube comments.
Oh gosh, please no. I want to stay away from those as much as possible.
Brent, okay. Where are you from? Just out of the curiosity.
Amarillo, Texas, the heart of the Texas Panhandle.
How far is that from Austin? Just out of curiosity.
Like a 7-hour drive.
So you're like to the west of Houston then, right?
Northwest. Yeah. Northwest. Very northwest. Like
very north.
Because Austin
west.
Austin to Houston is like 5 or 6 hours drive, I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's about 5 hours, I think.
Shouldn't you be able to hop on Southwest or something and get there for pretty cheap?
Yeah, I'll probably be able to get out there. I'll find a way somehow.
I was going to say, I'll donate if there's a kickstart. I'll donate $50. You can hold me to that, too. I'll donate $50 to your plane.
Maybe we'll do a kickstart. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyways, that will wrap it up for our show tonight, guys. Thanks for tuning in for those on the live stream, and thank you for listening to us again for those that download us. And we will see you guys next week. Halo Bulletin and any rumors and all that stuff. So until then, keep on fragging those heavy vehicles.
With plasma pistols.
Because heavies are out.
Wait, what? Yes.
With plasma pistols. Fragging.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With plasma pistols.
And we're not the bungee kids with plasma pistols glowing either. With plasma pistols? It was the elephant. It was the elephant. Yeah, they put the elephant noise in there. And wah! Yeah. Actually, do I think that happened on iTunes? Yeah, we're still broadcasting, but the podcast is technically...